Hello, and welcome to Two Girls, One Book Podcast. This is episode 87.
Yep.
87. We're getting there towards the 100th mark, aren't we? What are we going to do?
We are. Something special.
A massive celebration. Yeah, we'd better mark it in some way. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, though.
Let's not produce on air.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of time to think about that. This week, month, week, day, today, we're here to discuss.
Right now, whatever time right you're now. Listening to this, right now, in this moment.
We are discussing in your ear holes The Maiden by Kate Foster. And this one we chose because we wanted to pick something off the Women's Prize long list, didn't we?
Yes.
And this was the only one out of all of them that I think I had heard of, I think. I can't remember what else is on the list. That's quite bad of me, but...
There's a Megan Nolan's Ordinary Human Failings is one I read last year. That's on there.
Okay, yeah, we did know about that one. But the rest of them were fairly left field.
Yeah.
To me. But yeah, I picked this one up because it's got these gorgeous spreadges, mainly. That was why I picked mine up. And thought that it was, you know, historical fiction, and I classically love a bit of historical fiction, so yeah. Thought it might be right up my street. This is April's buddy read. I'm trying to like figure out what's going on in my mind because we're having to read May's buddy read in April as well. So everything's a little bit haywire in my brain, but I'm just speaking out loud. I'm just letting everyone know my thought processes. So this is actually April's.
Yes, we read this in April with a lovely group of people on Instagram, and we are recording in April.
Yes.
And releasing it is April. In April.
Yes, unless you're listening to this not in April, in which case, it's not April, guys.
Stop complicating things. So Rhiannon kind of picked this one. I had not seen your spreadsheets version. Mine is just a normal.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Was it boring?
Mine is a boring one, but I picked it up when we went to visit Criminally Good Books in York.
Oh, yes.
Which
yes.
was a very fun little new independent bookshop. So mine is just a normal one, but I'm happy to have read it. Spoiler alert. I've got a little synopsis ready to go, which might give you a little bit of an idea of the plot. We won't spoil anything. As usual, we keep it spoiler-free. So if you're interested in the book, listen on. If you've read it, listen on. It's just our thoughts and feelings on The Maiden by Kate Foster. So It's inspired by the real-life case of Christian Nimmo, arrested in 1679 for the murder of her lover and uncle, James Forrester. The author makes it clear in the author's note that she's taken creative license with the story itself, but the arrest, trial and sentencing were real, as were the many articles printed in newspapers across the country which named Christian as, amongst other things, an adulteress and murderess. The story is told from the alternating points of view of Christian herself, awaiting execution by the Maiden, which was a type of guillotine used in Edinburgh, and Violet, who is a young woman who also finds herself in James Forrester's circle. So we flip backwards and forwards between the trial, the time of the murder, and both women's earlier lives as we find out what truly happened on that fateful day. So it's
great.
Kind of everything that you love wrapped up in a book.
Yeah, it is. I was thinking about this, like the sort of time period from when it is. Generally, all the books in that era have very much been tied up in like witchcraft and the witch trials. I've found, definitely lately anyway, I feel like there's definitely been a bit of a fashionable thing to write about. I don't know. So I was interested to read a book which was not about that. It's about high society on one side of the coin and very much the opposite of that.
Yes.
Which I really enjoyed, actually, sort of hearing about the two different classes, class worlds that we get thrown into. I did enjoy this book. I knew that I would like it. I somehow very diligently stuck to our schedule, actually. I think I was one of the few people that actually read to schedule.
Yeah.
Which is so unlike me these days. I'm usually either behind or
steaming
just
ahead.
completely ignoring it. It's like, right, I'm gonna do it to schedule this time and see how it is. I'm not sure whether that was good for me. I saw a TikTok. I've started a TikTok, guys, just as a by the by, for us for the podcast. So go and find us if you are TikTok inclined. I still have no idea what I'm doing. Anyway.
I still need to even get onto it. So
yeah,
I'm way behind the curve. I text my child and said, how do you feel about potentially being our TikTok advisor? And he was like, absolutely not.
No, that's not. But yeah, I saw a TikTok saying that in order to like get into reading, you have to binge. And I was like, I think that's kind of right. Like for me to feel really, really, really invested in a book, I think I do just have to like sit down and go for it. I don't think it's a hard and fast rule, but I do think generally the books that I have really like raced through mm-hmm. have been the ones that have grabbed me the most. So I don't know whether me sticking so diligently to our schedule, which wasn't like a super hectic schedule,
no,
I don't know whether that slightly hampered, made me feel a little bit more reserved about it than I might have done, because I know a lot of the girls on our Buddy Read group steamed ahead and were saying that they loved it and they couldn't put it down.
Yeah, I think so, it's quite fast paced, so I didn't stick to schedule. But I read like quite a lot at the beginning and then had a break whilst I was away at the weekend and then finished in two kind of solid chunks. Mm. And I did note that the pacing was quite quick. So
yeah.
I think to have that stop and start on a book which is so fast paced, it might just kind of drop you out of it a little bit.
Yeah,
the chapters are quite short. The perspective switches quite quickly and regularly. So I can see that potentially that would drop you out of the connection a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. But it was only minimal. I think I ended up giving this, I think I rounded it up to 4 stars. It was probably just a little bit below a 4-star for me, just because of that, what I've already said. Mm-hmm. And a couple of other things that I think we'll probably get to. But I really liked the character of Violet in particular. I thought Lady Christian was fine. I don't know. I find those kind of characters where they're a bit more prim and proper harder to connect with because they're more reserved themselves. Whereas Violet had zero airs and graces and was probably a character that it to our more modern sensibilities was much easier to just she was what she was, and yeah, you could get her right from the very beginning.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not to say that I didn't like Lady Christian. I think people were confused because she's a lady called Christian as well.
Yeah.
Which I when I started the first chapter I was like, oh, Christian's a lady.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be the perspective of the guy who was murdered. So I thought that was what we were doing. We were going to have that timeline from both perspectives. But I quite liked the alternating perspectives, as you said, when we first started recording, between the kind of very high society Lady Christian, who I believe the original Christian Nimmo wasn't a lady. But I think in order to get that kind of juxtaposition, I think it helps to set her in that kind of society.
Okay, yeah.
I thought it was very interesting to show, I'm sure we'll get on to James in a moment, but to show how his perversions or just badness kind of contaminated across all women. It wasn't just women who he considered beneath him that he targeted. It was women who were of a higher standing than him. Lady Christian was from a family that was higher up in society than he was traditionally. So I liked that kind of use of that to show the difference between the two ladies, but that they were both touched by this, excuse the expression, by this just awful, horrible man. And I did like both of them. I thought that Christian was maybe a little, she came off a little bit naive maybe at times, which I guess she maybe led a little bit more of a sheltered life. She also seemed like she was kind of a, you know, like, oh, I'm not like one of the other girls. Like, there was a lot of things about her personality that was like, oh, well, all of the rest of the girls are blonde and beautiful and pretty, and I'm a little bit mysterious and I'm a little bit different. And I was a bit like, oh, okay, predictable. So I definitely liked Violet much better. And for all you say, like, she had no airs and graces and what you saw was what you got, she also was just a, she was a likable character. There wasn't anything that you thought was a kind of bad bone in her body. She was just, had found herself in the situations that she had, and her emotions and reactions felt very real and believable. So yeah, I liked both of them.
Somewhat.
Yeah, there's always going to be one that you connect with more than the other, and of course the one who's a little bit vulgar is the one that I'm going to like more. But I think actually, weirdly, by the end of the book, which we won't spoil anything in terms of the storyline, but I started to feel a lot warmer towards Lady Christian towards the end of the book, as we learned more about her earlier years and how she came to be in the situations that she did. I realised just how vulnerable she had been, and that really helped me kind of warm to her character towards the end.
She went on a bit of a journey, didn't she? And I was the same. I liked her more by the end. So yeah, I guess we should talk about the uncle, the lover, so he was an uncle via marriage.
Yes.
So just to clarify that if he was an uncle the other way, then that would have still been quite frowned upon, I think, wouldn't it? Even back then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still pretty rank. I wouldn't indulge in that.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I think even taking apart the kind of familial connections, whether it's through marriage or not, I think the highlighting of the age difference between the two is the thing that just made me go, like, ooh, this is a guy who has known this woman as a child. I mean, she's quite young when we meet her anyway. Is she only kind of 16 or 17 in the beginning?
Yeah, she's a teenager, isn't she? Yeah.
And I just think that there's something really gross about a man who is in a trusted position, a familial position, just, taking advantage of that. And with the knowledge that he would have had of the family situation, knowing that he had kind of leverage when it came to things like that, it's just gross. And I did struggle actually towards the beginning of like really just kind of getting over the fact that like, oh right, this is what we're doing, this is how this is happening. He was a horrible character, and not even just with that in mind, just genuinely a horrible character. Even if there hadn't have been that level of connection, he was a piece of work.
He doesn't come across as the best of dudes, but
no.
I think that's That's the idea, because you don't want to be feeling sorry for him throughout this book. That's not what this book is about. It's about the women and why he ended up dead and how.
And who.
Yeah, and there's sort of justification behind it all, which we won't give away. I'm going to struggle to talk about the end without giving stuff away, but we'll do our damnedest to maintain it.
Yeah.
Spoiler free.
I mean, without even kind of jumping ahead to the ending, really, the whole way through this book, we start at the beginning knowing that she is in prison, accused and sentenced for the murder of this man.
Yeah.
So the ending is given to us on a platter, almost. The finesse and ins and out of the ending we are not given. But we know, and I guess if we'd cared to do any research, we would have known anyway how the outcome ended up. But I read like a Q&A that the author had done with regards to the real life Christian Nimmo and why she had been inspired by her. And it was kind of touched upon in our buddy group of the author's feeling that when she read about Christian Nimmo, all she read about was the notoriety and the kind of salacious facts of the case. And they were, all of those pieces of information were written by men, whether it was the journalists at the time writing for the broadsheets, whether it was the judges who made the decisions. And the author had kind of sat and gone, I wonder, like, there must have been a reason. What would the reasoning have been?
Yeah.
What emotions were involved in this? So that's the kind of starting point that she went from to build the story backwards almost. And because we don't have any writings from Christian's point of view or from Violet's point of view in real life, then she could only make a fictional idea. Yeah. But I think we know more these days about grooming and abusive relationships to know that probably there was more to the story than was reported in the 1670s. So I think it was a really interesting take on that, to give us the ending at the beginning and then to explain her whys and what fors and give us more about her as a person.
I quite like that format for a book. I quite like it for like a TV show as well. If you have like the opening scene and like, this is what's happened, there's your dead body, how do we get there?
Yeah.
I quite enjoy that way for like thrillers and things like that, rather than wondering what's going to happen. How did it happen?
Yeah.
More to the point. Yeah. I was just thinking back to our buddy discussion when we were talking about Viola in the brothel and how her friend, I can't remember the name of her little friend.
Ginger,
yeah. How how her storyline came about without spoiling things, and how that linked in, because I think a lot of people were like, how's this going to...
I don't think it linked in necessarily with anything to do with the main plot. I think it was more to do with Violet's understanding of men and their men in that time, or the specific men that she came into contact with, and their opinions on women as property, something that they could do with what they wanted. And I think it was to allow Violet, I don't know that she could have seen that from her own perspective.
Right.
I think that she had to have seen it from the perspective of someone that she cares about, because through the whole book, she makes mention of her mum and her dad and her siblings, who she carries these mementos of, because she obviously cares more for other people and their safety than she does for herself.
Yeah.
She's quite young as well, and she seems to kind of barrel herself into these situations without really thinking of the consequences.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Ginger was there for, was to show Violet that actually this is not, the life that she's living is not what she wants.
Okay.
That was a really sad situation. Again, without ending Ginger's storyline and letting you know like where she ends up, she was very young as well, and I had to keep really like grounding myself in that dark, seedy underworld of like 1600s Edinburgh. I thought that the author did a really good job of depicting the city as it was then.
Yeah.
So my brother lives in Edinburgh. We visit quite a lot, and Edinburgh today is obviously wildly different to what it was back then. But I really got the feeling of the kind of grimy city streets, and then the comparison to the the big country house where Christian lived with her husband, and where James Forrester lived.
Yeah,
I think I liked the descriptions of place. I really felt put me there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I thought she did. I liked the writing. I thought it was simplistic. There's not really much flowery language in there at all, but enough to offer all the description that you need.
Yeah,
I think
one of the interesting things that I liked were the uses of the little kind of snippets out of the broadsheet papers.
Yes. Yeah.
I noted that they were not written in the same language I would have expected them to have been, but I quite liked that they weren't, because I think that would have taken me out of the story. And actually what they did was, which is probably a bad thing, kind of drew me into the gossipy side of it. And they're like, I can imagine reading up about it. I'm a fan of true crime, and I think in the 1600s I probably also would have been a fan of true crime. And I could picture the people of Edinburgh hanging on the words of the broadsheet journalists who were kind of giving out the details of the trial. Yeah. But then also being reminded that they would have been men. So it was very biased against a certain person. And I think it was a really clever way of just breaking up the story and letting us have almost a non-emotional view of what was going on. Because it wasn't tarnished with the, not tarnished, but it wasn't kind of swayed by Violet or Christian's personal thoughts and feelings. It was the news of what was happening.
Yeah.
I quite like that. I like the chapters were super short, the little snippy paragraphs, the little, I thought it was really, like written in quite a fun and accessible way, considering it's a pretty grim topic.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, as historical fiction goes, it was kind of historical fiction thriller-esque. It was one of those books that's slightly meshing genres, which I'm enjoying at the moment. I'm enjoying that.
Felt a little bit Midsummer Murders, with the beginning being the body, and then you work your way backwards, unpicking it and working out what happened. I thought it was great. I loved the title of it. So the maiden, I haven't really researched, but I will, because I love any kind of gore and gruesome, horrible history. But the maiden is the name of the device that she was sentenced to be killed by, but also the kind of double meaning of her being this young maiden and quite innocent, for all she ends up embroiled in a scandal.
Yeah.
I think it was a clever title as well, because definitely had a double meaning there.
Yeah, for sure. Without us having to give the ending away, if you have looked into this story at all, then you would know what happens anyway, because real life. But what were your thoughts?
I kept hoping that things were going to go differently.
Mm-hmm.
And there were glimmers of, like, there is, there's mystery towards the end of the book.
Yeah,
and there is. Was not 100% convinced all the way to the end. I purposefully didn't research the real life woman until afterwards.
Yeah, so, I think I would advise that if you're going into it, I would read it and then maybe do your research after.
Yeah,
just to suspend your disbelief a little bit.
Well, and also I think even if you researched it and know what the outcome was for Christian. Violet was a fictional character, so she's not mentioned in anything. And any of any motivations for people's actions won't be in any research that you would do. So I don't know that it would spoil the story, but it might spoil the ending if you researched it beforehand. But I was okay. I think I was expecting it to end the way that it ended. And so I had already made peace with the fact that that's probably how it was going to end.
Sure.
But I did have glimmers of moments where I thought, oh, it's going somewhere different here.
Yeah, she was quite good at throwing in a few different red herrings.
Yes.
To make you think it was going to go one way and then another way.
But there's some interesting side characters all connected to Christian. So her husband, Andrew, who...
Strange.
I couldn't get my head around because he seemed like a real good egg. And I don't know what was the matter with him. And I don't know why he did certain things.
So I'm presuming, now this is not spoiling anything because I don't think it, but yeah, it doesn't say it anywhere. But I was presuming he's gay.
Yeah.
But. Don't know.
It felt very much like there was absolutely no interest whatsoever.
Yeah.
And then that's when you start to, and I guess kind of question. So if you're told from the very beginning, this woman is a murderess. So you're told she's a bad person. You probably aren't supposed to like her. But then as you learn more about her personality, you can see why people make the decisions that they might do.
Yeah.
Because human beings are human and they have emotions and needs, and she would have been a very confused person. And I think I liked him, Andrew, her husband, because I thought he seemed like a real nice guy, but I was also frustrated because I felt like he had maybe not pushed her into that situation, but left her to be taken advantage of.
And I also felt similarly about her mum as well.
I got more angry about her mum as the book went on.
Yeah, same. Because it becomes clear that her mum maybe hadn't had her best interests at heart all the way through.
No. I think at the beginning of the book, I thought she was a kind of Mrs. Bennet kind of character. I don't know. It's so long since we read Pride and Prejudice. That was before you got married. But yeah, Mrs. Bennet in the book was very much like, oh, I've got to marry my daughters off to these rich men. And it's weird, but it's kind of harmless.
Yeah.
But there was a level of like sinisterness to the way that Christian's mum went about things that I think I just couldn't get on board with.
Sure.
And her sister, I felt, again, I kind of felt meh about at the beginning. Yeah. And then I started to be a bit irritated because I was like, well, you're her support person. Yeah. Like, she's happy living in her little bubble. So she kind of just left her to it, knowing that she's not really got the support that she should have.
Yeah.
Sounds like, actually, this made me very mad, this book. But I did enjoy it. But it's just more a lot of frustration and a lot of relief that, I mean, times are not 100% okay for women, but better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Relief that I am not living in the 1670s.
Yeah.
Because
there's been some progress.
I'd be in the grimy side of Edinburgh if I was.
Peddling your wares.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it definitely, it invokes a bit of female rage, I think, but that's probably what it's meant to do, and that's probably why it's on the Women's Prize long list.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, it's a debut novel as well, which I thought I had to kind of remind myself of that when I was making my notes. Yeah. I didn't feel like it particularly read as a debut novel. I think the author is a journalist, which definitely helps me to understand the level of research that she must have done. Mm. So I think that definitely tracks. But it was well written. It drew me in. I liked the characters. Even the ones I didn't like were well written and kind of understandable as a person.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that's about it, isn't it, really? So good little overview of it for you. But yeah, we liked it. We thought it was good. Do you think it's going to make the shortlist?
No.
No, I don't either. But I haven't read any of the others, so I don't know why. Why no, I think, any skin in the game.
Partly because I feel like maybe there was not enough nuance to it.
Okay, sure.
And also, which is not my point, but one which I wrote down today. So one of the ladies that I work with, who is Dr. Hannah Thomas, and she's like big into history, and she read the Buddy Read with us. And I asked her today, oh, how did you enjoy it? And she said, I liked the book, but they would not have had carriages in the 1670s. They wouldn't have been drinking tea the way that they were drinking in the 1670s. So that took her out of it. So I think that there might have been a few historical licenses taken.
Sure.
She said that she basically read the whole thing imagining it was the 1770s and then she could enjoy it.
Okay. Right.
It just made me very pleased that I'm not clever enough to have that much knowledge about like Georgian England.
Yeah. Cause... it's one of those like niche things, isn't it? Like, if I read a book with like musical references in that are wrong, then that's the one thing that like sticks with you and grates on you.
Yeah, you can't stop thinking about it the whole way through.
Yeah, exactly.
So I got it. She enjoyed it. That was her verdict. But just it was not necessarily historically accurate. So I think that might just drop it down a little bit when it comes to the judging.
Cool. Fab. So that was April. This was April.
Yeah.
Next one is going to be Penance by Eliza Clark. And we're also reading that in April, but it will be May.
Yes. It's gonna be May, in the words of Justin Timberlake.
Classic. Fab. Yeah, so our schedule here on out may be a little bit erratic. We've got plans, but who knows what's gonna happen. But there'll be episodes popping up from us.
We'll do our very best.
Yes.
And if I have to sit here and record one solo with a bottle of wine, then look forward to that, guys.
Good luck to you all. Fab. All right, well, we'll talk at you later.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hi there. Thank you so much for listening to Two Girls, One Book podcast. If you like what you heard, we would love for you to like, follow, rate, subscribe. In fact, just all that good stuff, please, would be fantastic. You can also find us on Instagram at Two Girls One Book Pod, so come and follow us over there as well. Happy reading, and join us next time.